And a very good morning to you. It is 21 minutes to 12. You're listening to Today. Yes, I am Keno Cummins, and a great team keeping you company as well. Now, alcohol is always a contentious issue, and especially during lockdown, you had some people selling alcohol under the table, other people stocked up just before the lockdown, in between the two, the various levels people rushed out to get. You remember when alcohol was unbanned and then brought back in again? Of course, something that people feel strongly about on either side of the fence. Now, there's also been an increase in the illicit trade in alcohol, and it does represent a very serious threat to the South African economy. Why? Well, I think one of the reasons is obviously the loss of taxation. There's VAT. There's also excise as well. And then the jobs contributed to, obviously, in this particular industry is very important. And there's a whole supply chain and value chain that is attached to this particular industry. South Africa can't afford this, right? So when Tito Mboweni spoke in the medium-term budget policy statement, he warned that the economy is projected to contract by almost 8% this year, right? With an outlook for economic growth in 2021 being uncertain. Nobody knows what January, February holds. And think about it. We've got the access parks of this world where people are not socially distancing. We've got that R number over 1, which means that there will be a multiplication. And in some cases, you'll have an exponential increase in the amount of COVID cases. We might have another lockdown if people don't listen. And then you juxtapose that with 2019, where the alcohol sector accounted for 3.4%, which is about 173 billion rand of South Africa's nominal GDP. The government would be estimated to lose around 6.4 billion rand a year due to the illegal alcohol trade. So Kurt Moore, CEO of the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association. Kurt, great having you on the show. A very good morning.
Good morning, Kino, and thank you for having me.
Now, tell us first. There's so many liquor associations out there. I struggled to figure out who's who in the zoo. So when you talk about the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association, who do you represent, and what is the purpose behind your organization's existence?
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. You know, the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association is a trade association that represents the manufacturers and distributors of alcoholic beverages and their interest in the non-competitive space. So typically, we get involved in issues such as illicit trade. We engage with the government on excise taxes and even laws and regulations that impacts on our members' ability to trade. We have some members such as South African Stalwarts, Distell, KWV, and DGB, but we also represent some multinationals, Pernod Ricard, Diageo SA, and Bacardi and Campari. And then there are a number of smaller wineries such as Speer, along those lines. So across the spectrum, mostly focus on wines and spirits. And
so all the big boys and girls of the alcohol trade, as it were, or at least the well-known brands.
On the wines and spirits side, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So now I always like having the context right. So let's talk about the illicit trade. Is this something, and maybe this is a stupid question, but I'm going to ask it in any case. Is this something which lockdown actually increased with people flooding the market with illicit goods? Or actually, let me just use my ADD and reverse that and ask you this question. When we talk about illicit trade, can you define that for us first? What does illicit trade actually entail?
That is a very good question to start with. And I think its definition is important. So from an illicit perspective, we look at all products that doesn't comply with the regulations. Our industry is highly regulated, so we have the Liquor Products Act that gives you detail of how a wine should be made, how a whiskey should be made, spirit, brandy. So if it doesn't comply with the technical requirements of the legislation, it is illicit. And then does not pay or avoids paying tax or the full tax and that's primarily excise, but also you have evasion of VAT as well. That's what falls squarely into the illicit category. But then there are subcategories within that.
Right.
And let me talk through some of those. So the two biggest subcategories is what we call substitution. That's when I take a bottle of a well-known product and I substitute it with something that's not intended to be in that bottle. That is a significant portion. That's about 24% of the illicit. And then growing is the 28%, which is actually smuggling and getting it across the borders illegally without tax. And then in many cases, it can be a legitimate product, but they've evaded the tax. So they come into the market with an unfair competition over compliant businesses. So those are the two big categories. Now, you know, I've been on many talk shows and people will say, homebrews is a traditional. That's not the area of concern. You know, homebrews is a part of our cultural heritage, and there's no big business out there that's saying no brewing kombucha at home. This is focusing on those two issues that I mentioned, and it's about leveling the playing fields now.
And
that's the way we talk. What we're talking about today.
So let's take a brand I like. I don't always drink it, but I mean, I love Jameson. So if someone, for example, if I had to take illicit. On the one hand, it would be one of those bottles that someone now sells to me at 280 rand or whatever for a liter, right? When it should cost north of 300 and odd rand, whatever it might be, right? So you get that. Someone sells you that. Somehow it gets to you. You're paying it. You're making a lekker deal on it, but no one's doing excise or the rest of it, and that is an illicit bottle that I would then – not I would buy, but I would have bought if someone had offered that to me, let's say, and I were someone that didn't give a damn. I am someone who gives a damn. So that's the one. Then you have someone who then concocts something that pretends to be a whiskey, triple distilled or whatever the heck, and – it actually does not conform to the regulations. So the one is a genuine bottle of something branded. The other thing is something which pretends to be, this thing that I believe I like, but it's not really because it doesn't conform to certain regulations. I'm trying to do it in as layman's terms as possible. Is that the clear distinction?
Absolutely. You know, your distinction is perfect. And it's the latter category carries with it some health concerns.
Yep.
Because you don't know what's been put into that bottle. So there are some health risks associated with those products. And, you know, let's talk about that particular, you know, the substitution, that's the dangerous one.
Okay, so let's talk about that. How big a problem is that? And maybe talk to us in which form are you seeing that currently take place?
Okay, so you had a very interesting discussion in your in the run-up to this. I mean, in the context of Minister Mboweni talking about the economy contracting, we talk budget deficits, all those big financial terms that that the minister uses. That essentially means we don't have money, and whatever money we can get into the fiscus. And you mentioned it. The size of the illicit trade is about 14.5% of this total alcohol sector. That's around about 12 billion rand. But the state is losing, as you mentioned, 6.4 billion rand in the form of lost taxes. And that's studies that we conducted in 2017 going into and released in 2018.
Yep.
We're busy with we want to do another study now because we've convinced that this increase, and even the Commissioner of SARS admitted in an interview that these illicit supply chains established themselves or further entrenched themselves during the lockdown because the legal guys are not allowed to operate. So we need to see how much that has grown as a result of the lockdown. Mm. So we're losing that money. So now you have this illicit product. And if you want to identify it, I mean, products that are substituted, often they take a bottle of a well-known product and then they refill it. So you'll find that either the seal is tampered with or they have some glue around it. So, you know, be very wary of those things. the label tends to be a lot more scuffed because it's been through a production line more than once.
Mm.
You know, our members take great pride in their labels. If a label comes off and then very damaged, you'd put it back into the system, clean that label off, and put on another one. So damaged labels, that should be a clear indicator. And then you need to interrogate the bottle. Look at, especially if you have two bottles or if you're in a store, have a look. Often the color of the product is inconsistent. One will be a light, if it's a whiskey, one will be a lighter shade of the whiskey color, the other may be a bit darker. So be wary of that. And also you look at fill height. So if you check one bottle slightly underfilled, the other bottle's overfilled, you know, we use sophisticated machinery that ties and get that. And that's usually an indicator. And then you mentioned it, price. You know, if you take spirits, and spirits is about 45% of the overall illicit because it is the highest priced point product, and its tax is the highest. Its targeted incidence rate that government has for is 36%. So you take that, which is just excise plus VAT. You know, often these products can be in the market for up to 50% below its retail selling price because they're evading excise and VAT.
Yes.
And if their product is too cheap, their alarm bells should be ringing, and you mentioned that.
Yeah. So the deal seems too good, then it is too good.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, so by the way, you're listening to Kurt Moore. He's the CEO of the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association. You've been with Salba for, 8 years now? Before that, he was with Distell, the business development manager for Africa, and he was also part of the Stellenbosch Farmers Winery. You see, I'm a stalker. Checked you out on LinkedIn. but, Kurt... So that's that on the one hand, right? And we shouldn't be buying illicit alcohol. The thing, though, is that people are emotional beings, and alcohol stimulates a part of a brain which elicits that emotional response, as it were. So trying to tell people not to do it in the absence of alternatives would be very difficult. Because even your most prominent people would try, and it's a bit like cigarettes, you know. You smoke a cigarette, you can't get cigarettes, you end up smoking a brand you've never, ever heard of before. But anyway, a skaif is a skaif, they say, right? It's the same with alcohol. So how does one combat it from that perspective, especially given where we at the moment, especially given the fact that we could very likely have something similar to a level 2 or a level 3 once again? Mm.
So, look, yeah, absolutely. You know, the last thing we need, and as an industry that wants to contribute to the reconstruction of our economy, is to be shut down again. Because, and as I said, we don't have the figures yet, but we're convinced that it has grown through the lockdown. You have seen, you know, during the lockdown in particular, I mean, there's been a recent spike, and it was the police department statistics suggest that there's over 400 bottle stores that were robbed. Now, typically that excise has already been paid. So, but, you know, that's the type of crime that's is starting to be caused as a result of lockdown. So, of course, you know, from an industry perspective, we want to do our bit to ensure that A, you know, consumers are using our products responsibly. The drinking occasions do not lead to the increase in infection rates, because that's clearly not what we want as a society, but also as an industry. But yeah, I mean, you said people will find this. And now that I know of a source, if we go into lockdown again, I'm just going to go to that same source again. And that leads me then into the second part, which is, and often you have legal products, which are, may not be legal in South Africa or legal in some other parts of the world, which are often sold here, because our ports service Southern Africa. So, you know, Durban, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, trucks, ships stop there and then get trucked further north. So lots of these business, lots of these operators, or the modus operandi of these operators, is to bring products in via the port. They'd say this product is destined for one of our Southern African neighbors. And it's so you don't pay the taxes because it's for export. They've got all the paperwork, but it never leaves the country.
Yeah. And
so they evade the tax, and that's why they can reach those competitive prices.
And then, of course, you have the people with legal liquor licenses who struggled during lockdown, and, instead of making a tot, their money on the tots that they sell, they rather take a bit of a knock on the bottle and, maybe not sell it at what a tot rate would be, but would make a 20 or 30 bucks on the bottle itself and sell that illicitly, because that's what it would be, to customers.
Yeah, yeah. So, and these are the challenges, and they just get exacerbated during the lockdown.
Now, Kurt Moore, by the way, CEO of the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association. We are talking about illicit products, so that would be legal products, genuine products, sold without excise, VAT, and any of the other stuff. And the other thing is like the moonshine type nonsense that people make. Sometimes, we're not too worried about, the bottle of Bell's where someone's taken a weakened tea bag, put it in there, and sells you the bottle. We're worried about that because you shouldn't be buying it, but, the weakened tea won't kill you. But some of the other things could. And that is the other challenge here, which Kurt Moore was talking about. But I have to ask this question. Everybody wants to be responsible, et cetera, et cetera. Tin roof, which a lot of people are suggesting is one of those places responsible for super spreading. Did the association get involved there and say, well, actually, what we're going to do, because they were selling things at heavy discounts, and these teenagers arrived there, it was on the Facebook page, did the association go to them and say, actually, we're going to remove all the alcohol that we've been supplying you from that place? And if you didn't, shouldn't you be considering doing things like that?
The simple answer to that question is we have categorically and the focus, rightfully so, from the media is all on all the bad guys. But majority of the businesses out there are compliant.
Absolutely.
And we're working with them. We're trying to make sure they stay in line. We have direct contact with the National Liquor Regulators Forum. That includes the provincial liquor regulators from around the country, and they submit to us a database of businesses with licenses have been suspended, and we stop supply. That is our commitment to the national regulators.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the law doesn't allow an association or my members to go in and remove those products. That's for law enforcement. But from a supplier perspective, we're very categorical about that. If you don't comply and you lose your license, you will, well, obviously, we can't even supply you.
Yeah. Now, my point is, now I'm going to be a bit naughtier, but what the heck? So, you read about this in a newspaper, you hear interviews about it, you hear stories that are backed up, but no one in the legal space has done anything about it yet. Would you not have a responsibility to say, given what we have, yes, we can't take your stuff away, but we are cutting off supply up until an investigation has been concluded?
Those decisions, unfortunately, Kino, needs to take place at the individual company level. Competition law says we can't sit and make a concerted effort to limit a particular chain. So each individual business, and I know some of my members have, they said, we've heard this, we're stopping. But you can't sit around the table and divvy up the market is what the competitive agencies will tell you.
Although, Tembem Nkosi Bonakele, who's a very good friend of the show, would tell you that there are exceptions where if industries lobby, and they have done so with the banks, for example, when it comes to coming together with how they're going to help consumers, etc. If it's for the greater good, the Consumer Commission can make exclusions. I'm just saying. But it's not the crux of what we spoke about. It is an important cog, and I look forward to engaging you further on that, Kurt. But I really want to thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you very much, Kino.
Go for it.
We've set up a hotline number for, we would like to consumers to play their part.
Yeah.
If you're aware of any illicit operations.
Yeah.
There's a hotline that's been set up by the Consumer Goods Council of South Africa, 0800 014 856, to report these incidences anonymously, and it will be followed up, and we'll be working with the South African police services and SARS if required to deal with those issues.
Excellent. Kurt Moore there, CEO of the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association.